Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate, Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus. I ask for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you at this hour for blessing us to come together in your name, to acknowledge that you are Almighty God, and besides you, there is no other. To know, Lord, that you are the provider that no one can outdo. Understanding, Lord God, that it is through your spirit that we obtain revelation, and understanding that we need to know concerning your will and what you have allowed to be written. Father, we thank you today, Lord God, that we are able to petition you once again for your spirit to be present with us, to do this thing, Lord God, and revealing to us that which we need to know. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you, because, dear Lord, you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ. Today, we're starting another new series today. And this series has to deal with the gifts of the Spirit. And we will be looking at one of them in this series starting off. We will go the course or however the Lord leads. But we're definitely starting off with one of them today. And I want to say that, you know, the last series I did concerning walking in the Spirit, and talking about the things that was connected to walking in the Spirit. And the last thing I came before you with is about the gifts of the Spirit. And as I said to you guys before, in the body of Christ, in the Christian community as a whole, the gifts of the Spirit is not discussed much. The only two out of the nine that the Bible lists here in 1 Corinthians 12, that is not only mentioned, but in many, many cases overemphasized to a point where that it has been displayed as being the only two gifts is prophecy and tongues. But other than that, the gifts, even of this list of nine that we will look at here, or 1 Corinthians 12 mentioned, is not fully discussed among the Christian community. As if we have put it so that the other seven don't matter. But I'm here to tell you today that all the gifts of the Spirit matters. All the gifts of the Spirit is important. You know, there is a place in the kingdom that is referred to as ministry gifts. And ministry gifts are spiritual offices in the body of Christ. Well, every spiritual office is important in the body of Christ. And just like every spiritual office is important, so is every spiritual gifts. And what has happened among Christianity is that we have, quote, tried to put into the category what is important and what's not important. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't agree with you. Some of us have overemphasized certain places or positions in the body, and at the same time demean or put down other positions in the body. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord Jesus doesn't agree with you. Today we're going to open up from the Bible here, and this is merely a part one. I'm just letting you guys know. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is what we're going to open with today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 8. I'm going to stop at verse 8 because, as I said in the beginning, this is we're going to be discussing looking at one of the gifts. Amen. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. The Word of God says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give to you an understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Now, today we're looking at the word of knowledge. It's mentioned here in verse 8. And the first thing that I want to mention is that in verse 7, when he said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal," some people see the word profit and they automatically think money. No, profit here is dealing with being in service of use to the Lord. It's not dealing with cha-ching or making money. And this is one of the things, sad to say, that has crept in among the Christian community, that even when God is using us in gifts and talents, that we have put just about a price on everything, and not only just a price, but a ridiculous and out-of-the-way price, to where that you find some among the Christian community is racking up dollars off their talents. You got people now, for you to go to a so-called prayer college or school, charging you $1,500, to get a certificate and say that you graduated from this school. I'm not talking about a worldly, natural, or literal school. I'm talking about a school of teaching the Word of God. You got these outrageous chargings, okay? The thing about it is that you have some in the body of Christ think that it goes unnoticed by God. But they're going to find out when the smoke clears that God is going to inform them, "I noticed what you were doing. I noticed that you were making merchandise or trying to make merchandise out of my word. And you are in grave error when you do such a thing." This is why here on the broadcast, you don't hear us asking you or begging you for money. Now, we do understand that it takes money to do things in this earth, even in connection to spreading the gospel. But we don't go ridiculous. In fact, like I said, you don't hear us begging you guys for money on the broadcast, okay? You don't see us like someone would do on TV. They're begging for money and talking about we can't stay on if y'all don't give us money. But I feel like this. If God had put you in that place, then he has to supply the money, okay? He has to touch the hearts. He has to open the doors. It is not for you to come on and beg. And then you have some of them that comes on, and they're making all kinds of names for type of seeds. The this and this and that seed, and that and this seed, and the 1,000 this and that seed. I mean, we just anything to get money. And you have painted a picture in the eyes of the people that you're money hungry, okay? And you think that the Lord doesn't notice that, but God is going to show you before the smoke clears, or when it clears, he's going to let you know he noticed what you were doing. Amen. Now, the word of knowledge, okay? He said here in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Now, as I share with you guys about the mentioning of the gifts, how that out of this list of 9 here, only 2 of them is really, really pinpointed. If you were a fly on the wall, 2 of these 9 gifts are the one that you will hear talk about the most among the Christian community will be prophecy and tongues. Like I said, to a point where it's been overemphasized to the point to give you the impression that that's the only 2 gifts. And then it's been overemphasized to a point where many of us have stepped over the boundaries, and now we've gotten to the realm of the ungodly, or gotten to the realm of false prophecy, or gotten to the realm of fake tongues. You understand what I'm saying? Because everything, in a sense, has a boundary, people. Everything has a boundary. And when you step over that boundary, you get into an area that you don't need to get into, where there comes consequences that really you think you can handle many times, but you find out that you can't, okay? So he said, for to one is given the word of knowledge. Now, hallelujah. When looking up this word knowledge in this verse in the original Greek, because we are in the New Testament, to see what was the original Greek word there before it was translated over to the word knowledge. And the original Greek word there was gnosis. Gnosis. And the word gnosis here means the knowing, or the act of knowing that is implicating knowledge. So he said, when he said to one is given the word of knowledge, to one is giving the act of knowing something. Okay? The act of knowing something. Now, we're going to first go into the avenue of showing you about this word of knowledge, what it is not, okay? What it is not. What I'm going to go into the avenue to show you what is not the word of knowledge. Because, see, when we see the word knowledge, many of us, and including myself at one point, would think, okay, knowledge, oh, I know what knowledge is. Or we're talking about this kind of knowledge. But we're going to first go into the area of showing you what this word of knowledge is not, okay? And then we'll go into what the word of knowledge is, okay? So let me repeat this again. We're going to go into what the word of knowledge is not, okay? And then we're going to go into what the word of knowledge is. Let's talk about what this word of knowledge is not. This word of knowledge is not the type of knowledge that you're going to acquire from studying, investigating, observing, or experience. I'm going to show you what I mean in a minute. So this, when it says to one is given the word of knowledge, it's not talking about a knowledge that you're going to acquire from studying or from investigating something or observing from something or of experiencing something. And all this in connection with God. Okay? This is not that word of knowledge. And once again, I'm going to show you what I mean. Another reason why this is not that word of knowledge, okay? When you look and read verse 8 again, he said, for to one is given the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. He said, for to one. Now, that's not simply meaning to just one person. is meaning that it's not to everyone in the body of Christ. That means specific ones. Now, does it do that mean that God cannot use any believer in the word of knowledge? No, I don't mean that. But to one, it is given. Okay? It is given by who? Well, see, the answer is in verse 11. But all these work of that one and self-same spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, divided to every man severally as he will, not as the man will, but as the Holy Spirit wills. So therefore, it is a gift given to specific ones by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Hallelujah. And also, that's another reason why, and we'll see in a moment, that this word of knowledge is not a knowledge that you inquire for study, investigating, observing, or experiencing. Why is that? Because this is a gift given by the Spirit of God. Okay? But God wants every believer to get knowledge from studying, experiencing, and observing. Okay? So since God wants every believer to get a certain knowledge of him from studying, experiencing, and all of that, then therefore it could not be this word of knowledge, because he said, for to one is given, which means that everyone doesn't have it, okay? It's not given to everyone, okay? You understand what I'm saying? It don't say that he cannot use any believer in it, but there are these gifts are given to specific ones as the Spirit will. But remember, as we go further here, it does not mean just because you don't have the word of knowledge and I do, that what I have is better than you, or what you got that is not the word of knowledge is not needed. It don't mean that. So let's look at this thing. Why is this word of knowledge not the knowledge that we get from study? Okay, let's look at this right now. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go to verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, even though the Apostle Paul has said this and told Timothy this, this word here was for all believers, okay? Hallelujah. This word was for all believers. All believers, God wants them. See, this is the type of knowledge you obtain here from study, okay? From studying what? The word of God. Well, you obtain knowledge of the word from study. The Lord, this goes to everyone. It don't go to just certain ones in the body of Christ. Like the word of knowledge is given to certain ones in the body of Christ. Okay? This knowledge here comes from studying the word of God. This is the will of God for all in the body of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not for certain ones. Okay? He didn't tell Timothy here, for the one is given to study to show thyself approved. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He gave no implication of that. He gave no implication that, Timothy, you're the only one that should be studying, okay? You know, the Roman Catholic Church, back when in the days, who didn't want people to know the Bible, wanted people only come to them so they could tell them what the Bible meant. That's why they was against those who was translating the Bible for the simple common man to know. They didn't want the simple common man to really know the truth. They wanted you to come to them. And they tell you all, okay? Just like with the Jehovah's Witness, who at one time set it up that they had to come to their, quote, elders to understand what the Bible and all that would say, okay? Set up just like Roman Catholic, okay? Well, here, studying here, once again, it goes to all believers, okay? This is for all in the body of Christ. Like I said, not for particular ones, but for all in the body of Christ. So this kind of knowledge of the word comes from study. And this kind of knowledge comes from study. Remember, we read in 1 Corinthians 12, this gift of the word of knowledge is as the Spirit will. So it's not a knowledge that you get from studying the word of God, okay? Amen. Now, let me read to you another scripture here coming out of the word of the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ sent by the angel messenger, sent by Jesus Christ through the angel messenger, the Elijah, and from 1927 to 1994 thus far. And if you want any copy of these messages, they are 75 cents per dozen. And you can write to the Church of Christ, Elijah Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ with the Elijah Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Or you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get nobody at that number, dial area code 816-252-2343. Area code 816-252-2343. Now, in one of the messages, which is referred to as message 102, and the Lord sent this angel to Elijah out April the 5th, 1985, the Lord sent him, okay? I didn't send them. You didn't send them. None of your kid folks sent them. Okay. Nobody in the body of Christ sent them. He came at the appointed time of the Lord. Okay. And in one of the verses here, which is the 11th verse, because when the Lord sent him with the message, he was there around 5:30 a.m. And we got at least 60 verses in this here. I want to read verse 11 out of here. And once again, this is why I gave you where to write and call, because, listen, the Lord wants you to know about these messages that the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, and he wants you to read this and ask him about it. Now, not at one time do we ever come on this broadcast telling y'all, you better believe it because we told you. And if you don't believe it, no. We're telling you this because we've been commissioned to, but we're also told to tell you to come to the Lord about it. Because when the smoke clears, people, you got to stand on what the Lord reveals to you. Okay? You won't have a positive, strong stance if you're, quote, accepting the messages based on Brother Nate just telling you. Okay? Amen. Now, and this 11th verse here, in this 102 message, the Lord told the angel to tell us this: knowledge cometh from study of the books, and grace from much prayer. Salvation by obedience, deliverance by endurance. Now, once again, he's telling us about the knowledge that cometh from study of the books. Who he wants to study the books? Every believer. You understand that? So therefore, this knowledge could not be the word of knowledge that we read in 1 Corinthians 12, because, once again, this knowledge comes from studying the books, which is something that God wants every believer to do. In 1 Corinthians 12, that word of knowledge comes by as the Spirit will. That means that if the Spirit don't want to give that, or don't give that gift to you, he can give that gift to someone else. because it's as the spirit will, okay? But this knowledge that comes from study of the books, that mandate goes to everyone in the body of Christ. See, God wants everyone to have knowledge of his word through the study, okay? It is needed. Everyone, it is needed to have knowledge of the word of God that comes from studying the word of God, okay? With the gifts of the Spirit, it is given as accordingly as it is, you know, the person is used and all that in that particular area where God has fitted for them, okay? You understand that? Now, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to the Record of Nephi, another one of God's books. And I want to go to the book of Alma, chapter 17. Now, this Record of Nephi, this is another book of God's word, and it's a account of the inhabitants that live on this continent during the prehistoric times, okay? Amen. And if you want a copy of this book, it is $8. And the information I gave you for getting the messages, it's the same information that is you can use for to get this Record of Nephi book. Does God want you to know about it? He surely does. Does he want you to take it and ask him about it? He surely do. Okay? Leave it at that. Okay? And it's an account of how God gave his commandments and statutes and judgments to people on this continent during the prehistoric time. And it also show that around Jerusalem was not the only people God dealt with. Now, I don't know, in the Christian community, we're stuck on one, you know, like sometimes we get stuck on one track. Like you got some in the Christian community that think they the only ones that are Christians. You understand? They think like nobody else is Christians. You got some that think that if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't saved. And because they speak in tongues, they the only ones saved. So they actually said, have you been baptized in the name of the Lord? Well, yeah, I've been baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, why are you not speaking in tongues? Well, because tongues is the evidence of being filled to the overflow with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Not so much as evidence of saying you had to, yeah, it shows that can't happen unless you had the new birth. That's true. But in the new birth, it is said that, hey, you got to speak with tongues, you know, to prove you saved. But anyhow, the Record of Nephi, I want to read in the, what is called the Book of Alma, 17th chapter. Amen. I'm going to take a look at this here. Starting at verse 1. And it said, now it came to pass that as Alma, who was a servant of the Lord, was journeying from the land of Gideon. That's one of the places over here on this continent. It was called Gideon at one time. As Alma was journeying from the land of Gideon southward, away to the land of Manti, behold, to his astonishment, he met with the sons of Mosiah, a journeying towards the land of Zarahemla. Now, Alma and these sons of Mosiah one time were trying to go forth to destroy the church of the Lord God over here on this continent when they met a change, okay, from the Lord. But anyhow, it goes on to say, now these sons of Mosiah, now I want you to hear this, were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore, Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren, and what added to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord. Yea, and they had waxed strong, now listen to this, in the knowledge of the truth. Now we know from John chapter 17, truth here symbolically represents the word of God. So they waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth, for they were men of sound understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently that they might know the word of God. So once again, these men acquire a knowledge that came from studying the word. They obtain a knowledge of God's word that came from studying the word of God. You understand that? And therefore, this is why this word of knowledge mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is not the knowledge that you get from knowing the Bible or from studying the Word of God. Okay? Because once again, this kind of knowledge is mandated by God to all believers. He wants every believer, and it's important that every believer have a knowledge of the Word of God. Okay? So therefore, this word of knowledge at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is not the knowledge you obtain from studying the Word of God. Okay? Now let's go back to the Bible here. Let's go to John chapter 5. Let's go back to the Bible here. John chapter 5. Amen. John chapter 5 in the Bible here. Verse 39. John chapter 5 in the Bible here, verse 39. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, verse 39. And this is what the 39th verse says here. It says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, Jesus told us to search the scriptures, just like I just read to you how the sons of Mosiah had a man of good understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently. So they obtained a knowledge of the Lord by studying, or obtained a knowledge of his word by study. Once again, this is not the word of knowledge that is mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the reason why I'm breaking this down like this, because normally, and I know I have been guilty of it in the past before, when we see such a thing as the word of knowledge, we're saying, oh, knowledge. Oh, I know what knowledge he's talking about. He's talking about knowing the word of God. But no, he's not talking about the knowledge that comes from study. You know, it's just like when you see the word fear in the Bible. You know, most of us know fear as being afraid. Well, if you were stuck in that one mode of a defining of the word fear, then you would start thinking that everywhere you see the word fear, it means to be afraid. So when Revelation says the angel said, fear God and give him glory, you start thinking, oh, he's telling us to be afraid of God. And that ain't what he's saying. That fear right there means to give reverence, give respect, to worship. Okay? But once again, if you're stuck in one mode, and see, many times, and once again, I'm going to point to myself again, as many times I've been guilty of that, sometimes we're stuck in one mode and don't understand that sometimes words can be used depending on where it is put in a particular context can mean something different than when it's put in another context, okay? So, you know, when we're stuck in one mode, we think one mode. And that's one of the things we have experienced as a problem in the body of Christ, is that some of us are stuck in one mode, okay? We're stuck in one mode. Amen. Just like we stuck in a mode that we don't think women can proclaim the word of God. Okay? Because we know that men was ordained to be preachers and failed to understand that in that ordination there were certain things given to them, some certain authorization that they were able to do that was not given to the woman, but it did not mean. And you got to understand this, preaching means to proclaim. It doesn't mean that a woman cannot proclaim the gospel. But see, because we're stuck in one mode, and whenever we see the word preach or say preach, we automatically think a male. So when you hear that a woman preach, then some of us, let's get real, we start shaking with so much anger. We got, and then demeaning words of a woman comes out of our mouth. And I'm talking about some of us as male. So I'm just going to be straight and honest with you. I know some of the men don't want to hear this, probably get mad at me and turn their lip up and won't speak to me no more, but that's the truth. I don't care how mad you get. If it ain't in the plan of God, you can get mad all you want to. And I know it's in the plan of God for women to proclaim the gospel. Okay? Amen. I did not say go ordain them. Okay? I didn't say that. Because see, with ordination, comes a certain authorization to do particular things. Now, God did put that in the hands of males. That is not to say, okay, let's demean the female because it's put in the hand of male. I'm not saying that. Well, why is it so, Brother Nate? I don't ask Jesus, okay? Because he the one came up with it. Brother Nate didn't. Brother Nate wasn't sitting in heaven saying, you know what? I think I'm going to just have the males be able to baptize and give sacraments. And females can't do it. No, Brother Nate didn't do nothing like that. Brother Nate was not involved in that. Brother Nate was not on no committee board. God did not call no committee board and say, hey, y'all, what y'all think? None of that, okay? Understand that. Now, having said that, and now understanding that this word of knowledge is not the knowledge that comes from study, let's look at another thing that this word of knowledge is not, okay? And let's stay in the Bible here, amen? And let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Okay, let's go there. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Yes, Old Testament people. I know that some of you, and I know you guys may have heard me say this on many different broadcasts. The reason why I said it because, many times our lack of understanding on certain things is real bad. Okay, and there are some among the Christian community, just because they hear a minister start off with a scripture from the Old Testament, they're jumping up and hollering, we're a New Testament church. Now then, blah, blah, blah. I said, hold, stop, hold, slow down a minute. As the young folks say, slow your roll. Okay, stop it. Okay, because let's understand this. I didn't say, okay, let's learn how to sacrifice the lambs and the goats. I didn't say that. I didn't say, hey, let's learn how to carry out the law of Moses. I didn't say that. And plus, you have to understand that there are things spoken about dealing with today that the Old Testament prophets spoke about. So what are you going to do? You're going to tear out all the Old Testament, throw it in the garbage can? Come on, people, got to think. So quit being so quick to jump up because somebody is starting or mentioning something from the Old Testament. Quit trying to jump up so quick to condemn them. Know what you're saying. Now, if they sit up here and they telling you the law of Moses is still in effect and we got to still do it and execute, I understand you saying something. And then you must understand this. A lot of the Old Testament has a twofold application. What do you mean, Brother Nate? It don't just have a literal side. It has a figurative side. You understand that? Okay? So I just want to address that to the, we're the New Testament type of church hollers against me starting with the scripture from the Old Testament. Okay? Now, 1 Samuel chapter 3. It said, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Okay? And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim and that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. Okay. So the Lord is calling Samuel. Okay. He's a child. Didn't say his exact age, just say he was a child. So the Lord called Samuel, he said, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know, now listen to this, he did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Okay? Amen. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Okay? Hallelujah. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Okay? And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Okay? Now, Eli, Samuel is being called by the Lord, but he doesn't know the voice of God. He has no experience, quote, overall with God. Because the Bible tells us here that the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. He had no experience, okay, overall experience with God. Eli did. Now, at first, Samuel's running to Eli and say, hey, here I am. And he said, you called me. And Eli said, I ain't called you. Go back and lay down. So after the third time, the Bible said Eli perceived that it was the Lord. Because he had some knowledge in dealing with God that come from experiencing with the Lord. So therefore, he told Samuel, he said, the next time that voice said, he said, you say, speak, Lord, here am I, your servant. Here is your servant. Now, Eli, that's a knowledge Eli had from experiencing or coming acquainted with the Lord. Therefore, that kind of knowledge, again, is not the word of knowledge spoken of in what? 1 Corinthians 12. Because, see, Eli is pointing Samuel to getting to know that voice, to answering it. If it wasn't for Samuel to get to know that voice and answering it, then Eli would have let him know. So that's a knowledge that comes from experiencing, observing, or becoming acquainted with God. Again, that is not the word of knowledge mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. You understand that? That's not the word of knowledge. And see, Samuel too, being a child also, you know, he was immature to that kind of knowledge at that time, okay? Amen. That's why, you know, we in the ministry have to help those who are new converts and all that, help them in getting to know God by teaching them the word and pointing them to a relationship with Christ, that they may get to experience and become acquainted with him, okay? See, that's part of our job. This is why, you know, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this. This is why, you know, when I come across pastors that don't do Sunday school, see, that's part of your job, pastor, to feed the flock. You don't even, your job is not to just feed the flock through preaching. That's not part, that's part of your job. Your job in a wholeness is also involved teaching. You need to be there at Sunday school, leading the Sunday school, instead of appointing people, especially who was not called of God, to be in that position to, quote, teach Sunday school. Because something bad is going to go lacking. And they're going to take some of them to areas they don't need to take them. You understand that? And you, pastor, and I pray that some of you that pastors are listening, it is your job, okay, to feed the flock. Feeding the flock don't just involve preaching, okay? Some, remember I was talking about that one phase, that one mode? Well, you got many churches among the Christian community in one mode. What do you mean? One phase. What do you mean? Preaching. Preaching. There is less thought about importance on teaching. It's less. People, you know, listen, you go to most of your Christian churches and you look on the schedule, if you don't see preaching, you probably fall out. Because we will preach you till you fall out, get up, and we'll preach you till you fall out again. But when it comes to teaching the word of God, there's an absence. Or if there's some teaching, you can tell that there's not a stress of importance. So that's why in some of your churches, you know, people be picking any kind of subject to talk about. David slung a rock and killed Goliath. Okay. All right. Whoopee. Okay for David. Thank God for David. You know? Thank God David was able to take care of the giant. But to me, a babe in Christ, what do they mean? I mean, Well, they're helping me out. How's that helping me? Okay. What is that getting me to know, you know, kind of help me out here? Amen. Now, so that kind of knowledge there, first, that comes from experiencing or becoming acquainted with the Lord. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22 here. Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 29. Remember, when the Sadducees come to Christ, and the Bible lets you know they didn't believe no resurrection. But they're going to ask Jesus about resurrection. Why? Because, hey, we think we're going to twist his word. We're going to catch him. We're going to show him up. Jesus was the smartest one you ever come across. When you thought you were going to catch him in the word, you just looked ridiculous. But he said, and the thing about it, he didn't have to say a lot. You ever met people that, you know, let's be real. You thought you had some on them. You could say this thing, and this thing had that I got you moment. But when you said it to them and they turn around and answer back, you actually was the one that got, okay, the I got you moment got you to where you couldn't say nothing. Well, I've been in that situation times myself, so I know exactly how that feels. You feel ridiculous, okay? So when they ask them about resurrection, look at verse 29 what Jesus said. Jesus said, ye do err, now listen to this, not knowing the scriptures, but look at us, he said, nor what? The power of God. So not only do you know the word, not only are you absent of knowledge that comes from the studying of the word, but you absent of knowledge that comes from experiencing the power of God or coming become acquainted with the power of God. You're absent of that knowledge too. Okay? Amen. But once again, we're looking at this because I want you to understand that the word of knowledge mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 is not the knowledge that comes from experiencing or becoming acquainted with God's power or with God. Okay? Amen. Because once again, that mandate goes out to every believer. So that's not to a one that's given knowledge of the power of God or to the one that's given knowledge of the scriptures. That don't go to that. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let's go to, I want to go back here to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent to his angel messenger, the Elijah. Go to what is called message 59. Okay. Message 59 in the word of the Lord here. And verse 13. Now this message was sent out officially January the 29th. The angel appeared to Brother Dre's on the 27th and told him he would come again. And then he came back on January the 29th, officially 1943, to give this word. Now I want to read the 13th verse in his 59th message here. Amen. And the angel was authorized to tell us that he said, let the messages I bring be published. Let them go to all the world. Fear not man nor his ways. Some the Lord has entrusted with responsibility. Listen to this. Know not his spirit nor his goodness. Now let's stop there. He said, some that the Lord has entrusted with responsibility. There's people that have been given responsibility or authorizations in certain things, in certain areas. He said, they know not his spirit nor his goodness. They have not experienced the goodness of God or come to be acquainted with God's goodness or his spirit. Once again, that's a type of knowledge that comes from what? Becoming acquainted or experiencing the goodness and the spirit of God. Okay? Again, that is not the word of knowledge. Okay? Spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's not it. Okay? See, we want to understand these differences concerning knowledge. So we won't get it mixed up because it's easy to get it mixed up. One thing, if you're thinking one foe, one map, one mode, one mate, wait, you see knowledge, you go, oh, I know what knowledge is, and you're thinking one way and can be dead wrong. amen, to be dead wrong. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to one more place here as we close. Go back to the record of Nephi. And this would be 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 1. This is what Nephi, one of God's servants here on this continent during the prehistoric times, that came over here with his dad when the Lord had told his dad was in Jerusalem, okay, it's time to go. But they seek to take your life out, time to leave. Okay. I'm going to read to you what he said. He says, I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father, and having seen many afflictions in the course of my days, nevertheless, having been highly favored of the Lord in all my days, yea, now listen to this, having had a great knowledge of the goodness and the mysteries of God, therefore I make a record of my proceedings in my days. He said he had a great knowledge of the goodness and mysteries of God. That means that he became acquainted with the goodness of God. You know, he had a great knowledge of the mysteries, okay? Amen. He got to know. He got to he acquired mysteries from God concerning God's word. But once again, this type of knowledge where you become acquainted with especially the goodness of God, this is not the same knowledge that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? So I'm going to stop it there today. I wanted to get out of the way when we see the word of knowledge, what knowledge is not talking about. It's not talking about the knowledge that comes from the study of the word. It's not talking about the knowledge where you come experiencing and become acquainted with the goodness of God, the spirit of God, things like that. Because remember, that mandate goes to every believer. So, but 1 Corinthians 12 says, for to one is given. Once again, I want you to understand, it don't mean just one person have it, that it saying everyone don't have it. It's not given to everyone. He can use anyone in the gifts, okay? But that gift especially is given to you of your calling or whatever work that God has you to do, that gift will go with it, okay? All right, so praise God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you've given us this opportunity once again to go into the word of God, to understand your word. Father, I pray today, Lord God, that you would bless us in the word of God today, strengthen us, and we thank you for this opportunity you've given us. And Lord, we will be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, tonight at 7 p.m., we have another broadcast, the Full Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee and the sisters. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive, the message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.